Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, sit back, relax, because for the next hour, we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, welcome in. Just another unbelievable, listen, about 6 weeks ago, I think a lot of us thought that, man, if we're lucky to hang on.
Yeah.
Just lucky to hang on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is maybe one of the more exciting seasons I can remember, regardless. You know, it's never exciting not to be good.
Right.
But you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I was so stressed out. My blood pressure must have been through the roof. The unknown.
Yeah.
And the Saints just keep proving that regardless of the quarterback situation, regardless of who you might argue, where would you put Kamara? Second, third, fifth? Where would you say in the ranking of the best players on the team?
Oh,
I know that's a pretty
top three for sure.
Okay, without him,
I mean Breeze, Thomas, Kamara. As far as offense goes, I mean, you know, I mean, losing Drew Breeze was the doomsday scenario, right? It's the hurricane coming up the mouth of the Mississippi.
Right.
It's the scenario everybody sat around and talked about. And, well, if he's out for six games, boy, if we could squeeze out 4-2, that would be fantastic. But realistically, if we could just go 500, or you know. Nobody would have expected 5-0, right? I mean, never in any of the time did any of us really let our mind go to this place where we would go 5-0 in five games without Drew Brees.
Now, one of the things that we're going to have to talk about, though, I mean, we play really well. Is Chicago really that good? They were a playoff team last year. They relied on their defense.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same team. You know,
I don't think so. I wasn't sold on Chicago last year. I think they had a really lucky run, a good run, and
sometimes things fall your way.
Yeah, things just they got all the right bounces and whatnot. But I was never sold on them last year either.
Wesley, Chicago playoff team. I mean, obviously they were, but things go their way. Schedule might have been favorable. Is Chicago that good, or are the Saints better than we thought, personnel wise?
So, I mean, the important part, I mean, I can say that I believe the Bears' defense is that good. So, the 36 points we scored is a legitimate scoring 36 points on a great defense. No, offensively, they weren't great last year. They definitely struggled. They had some, their defense scored a bunch of touchdowns and had a lot of turnovers last year and put pressure on offenses. And they were winning low-scoring games. So, as a team, no, I don't want to say I was scared of Chicago. But if you told me we're going to play, no matter what their offense was, if you said that our offense was going in there with no Drew Brees, no Kamara, no real starting quality tight end against that defense in Chicago, I'd have told you we're hoping to win a 12-9 or 13-10 game.
Now, Tomas, instead of giving you a direct question, give me, what was your biggest takeaway from Sunday's game?
Well, the biggest takeaway for me for Sunday's game is that we are capable to win games as a team, not just as one outstanding player carrying the load for everybody. I think we have a team. We have men who step up and they say, okay, we have to do it, we'll do it next. I think our defense is an example of that. You know, everybody was crying about what's wrong with the defense. All of a sudden, Breeze goes out, the defense has stepped it up. We've won games with the defense over and over. Special teams stepped it up. Well, we won games that way. And now you have, two-glove Teddy there. he's actually doing more than just managing the game. He's doing a few things.
Making some plays.
I mean, that one pass says it all, where he scrambled out the pocket and dropped the ball right behind the two defenders right into Michael Thomas's hands. That right there tells you that he's a quality quarterback. He's not just a scrub coming off to fill up time. And as you said, just if we could break even. It's not a question of breaking even. So I would say my biggest take on this game is, again, the proof that the Saints are a team, balanced in every one of the three facets of the game.
Okay, so one of the things that you actually brought up that brings up a great question. Now, do you guys feel like this is a product of the team stepping up because Breeze is out? Or is this just, because look, last year's team, we had a good defense. The only thing is that, they were still young. A lot of our best players are good young players were in their second year. This year, number three, that's the year that everybody's supposed to be. You're it. You're now a professional.
Yeah.
So is it Drew Brees and everybody stepping up because he's injured? Or was this going to happen either way?
I think it was going to happen either way. We saw it happen last year. The defense started out a little slow. They picked it up as they went on. Maybe it was hastened a little bit more this year by the fact that Drew Brees went out and everybody got in the locker room and said, hey, guys, we got to get it together now. You know, no more messing around. We've got to do it now. But I think it was going to happen anyway. This is a talented team.
I think on defense, it's addition as well. We have a couple of new players on the defense that I think have made a big difference on defense. Our defensive line this year is so much superior to our defensive line last year. Not just that Davenport is actually playing ball now. He's now coming into understanding the game a little bit better. But we picked up some really good personnel that now we can rotate around, keep fresh legs on a defensive line. And additionally, one of the draft choices that we picked, man, he's balling out. I mean, Gardner Johnson, this kid, there's no way you're going to tell me that either one of the other two guys, either PJ or P-Rob, is going to make it back to beat him out.
Yeah, well, I disagree with you, but I will make the argument that, I want to talk about Brown because you were talking about off-season acquisitions.
Yeah.
And I think that he has been huge because we upgraded from...
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, both ways. from guys who were solid run stoppers to now we have an absolute impact player at nose tackle that frees up a lot of things for other players. We've improved in the run game. But I want to throw this out there. We have a ton of contracts coming up. Wesley, I think we're seeing, and Gardner Johnson is going to be the new strong safety for the New Orleans Saints because I'm not saying, and I'm saying this to be, not to be controversial, but I believe it, is Bell is playing lights out, caused four fumbles so far this year, playing really well, covering well. I don't think the Saints pay him.
I think that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think we will pay Bell. I think he's playing too good. It'd be crazy. And what we saw happen with safeties the last couple of years where we overpaid for Coleman and then no safeties got signed, I think that the safety contracts are not going to be insane like some other ones we've seen. And I think that what we're seeing with Gardner-Johnson is what we hoped Vaquero was going to be. Somebody that could play near the line, be physical, not let people get yards after the catch, hit the running back, but also could guard somebody from the nickel position.
Yep.
And I see him staying there. And I'd say, Dave, I think that the question you had a minute ago, this was bound to happen. We have one of the great 3 or 4 year runs in the history of any sport of the way that we've drafted. And like you said, a lot of these players are coming up in their third and fourth year. And that's when you are a true professional. That's typically 3 years is when the NFL starts making sense to people. And then getting lucky with Gardner Johnson and McCoy this year, these are rookies that are playing like Pro Bowl players when they've gotten a chance and at least making impacts in the game. This was bound to happen. So it's real easy to sign one good player like Brown that complements the rest of your front seven.
Absolutely. Now, the reason that I bring that up about Gardner Johnson is just simply, again, Bell playing outstanding ball. But when you start saying you got Lattimore, you got Ramchek, you have a ton of players that need to be, you can't sign them all. So which ones have a viable backup? And that's why I put that out there.
No,
listen,
I don't think
when
so.
When we come back, we're going to do the good, the bad, and ugly, and we can get this show rolling. So don't go anywhere. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast crew. I'll never be your face.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back, 97.7 and the BS and Beer Podcast crew, talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football. Now, listen, one of the things that I felt most frustrated about is the end of the game. And I was this close to putting out a tweet. I had it literally typed out. I was so frustrated. I was saying, I don't know if I've ever had experienced a more frustrating end to a Saints game.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden it hit me that that may have been the dumbest comment I would have ever made in any form of Twitter, social media, or verbally. But that's how I felt at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was maybe the longest excruciating end to a Saints game.
It just, oh, man. I mean, with Michael Thomas, he goes after the ball the first time, and he actually had a, I don't know if you'd call it an attempted reception, where he goes diving for the ball, and his, I don't know if his face mask just gets stuck in the ground and his legs kind of come up over his head.
He
looks painful.
Short a couple of times, yeah.
But for someone who's so athletic and does so many things well, that attempt at recovering that onside kick, you almost have to think.
Both of those look like the baseball player that dives for the ball when he should have swooed up and let it bounce and then catch it. You know,
Dave, let's just be honest. If they wanted Michael Thomas in there fielding stuff on special teams, they needed to pay him $102 million total contract, $99.5 million. He's not getting paid to do that. That's
And quite frankly, after what I saw, I think the coach might say, Michael, just tap him on the show. Come sit next to me, buddy. We're gonna put what's the new kid that we signed? Who, I mean, literally reading people talking about, he's an amazing signing. He was incredible. And the first thing he comes out and they throw him the ball and he drops it. Could have had a first down. Now, we had a penalty.
Zinner, are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Is it?
And he has been cut.
This is why I don't learn guys' names who ain't going to be around for a while. He's already been cut.
He's already gone.
Already gone. So that's less brain capacity that I had to fill up with one name.
I actually like him, though. I hope he's still on speed dial if they need him again.
Never know. Now, okay, so what does that mean? They cut a running back.
Well, that's what's interesting. They cut three people. And so now we have some open spots. We have open spots on the practice squad and on the regular squad.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
I can confirm that I have not received a phone call to fill any one of those three spots on the Saints roster. I can confirm that right now. Anyway,
Well, so the question is it about replacements for, you know, depending on what's wrong with Apple and we had several people,
PJ Williams.
Well, I saw one article that
fill out, and then Patrick Robinson is also hurt.
Yeah, right. Wanted to throw out some speculation that it's curious that we created some open space right before the trade deadline. Just to throw a little bit of mystery
into before we get to the good, bad, and ugly, let's talk about that real quick. Sanders was a guy that I think a lot of Saints fans thought, and myself, that we could get for a good price. We'd have a number two receiver. Yeah. He's in a different – what I like about him, he's a different mold than Michael Thomas and a lot of the big guys we have. He's more of a quick, you know, I don't know, I want to say jitterbug kind of guy. But the point is that he's a quick twitch kind of guy and a little bit different from – what we have on the roster currently. All righty then.
And I would say, Dave, probably the good news is that if we were clearing space, if they didn't feel that Kamara was going to be back next week, they might have moved somebody besides Zinner. Zach Zinner being moved as a running back, I think probably tells us that Kamara's in a good spot and they're expecting him to play this next week.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. Now, who else? The Falcons traded away. Tomas, give us the update.
The Falcons traded one of their wide receivers, Sanu, to the Patriots, who they just picked him up to put him on the bench. They're not going to really use him or anything, but they picked him up pretty cheap, as I understand, second-round draft choice, and that's what they gave up to get him. So you have Sanu going that way. You got Emmanuel Sanders going to San Francisco. So, you know, these two fine receivers. Now, you still have some other receivers out there. And, of course, Miami is still, you know, selling everybody they have. And pretty soon the Falcons will do the same thing because they got nothing. They still can't get over 28-3. So, you know,
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, Heath, as usual, we'll start off with you. Give us your good. Let us know what you think.
My good is Latavius Murray. You know, we've talked about him recently. We didn't feel, or at least I for sure didn't feel like he had really been utilized. I think they should have used him a little more last week when Kamara was already hobbled. I thought they should have been using him in short yardage situations more. Anyway, this week, Kamara out, obviously he got his chance. He responded with 119 yards, two touchdowns, 30 or so yards receiving. Proved his worth.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%, Heath. I think that we've talked about this, but I was not a Mark Ingram fan necessarily, besides that him just being part of the Saints backfield. And the way that he left with the trying to hold us hostage with money, I was okay with him leaving. And Latavius Murray's just been getting raked over the coals without ever even playing. Like, he's had 15 carries on the season, and everybody's been talking trash about him. This is a guy who has speed, can carry the ball, and great to see him get an opportunity. Great to see what he did to the team. Like, and like you said, not just running the ball. He had, you know, five or six catches for 35, 40 yards, too. So,
yeah.
Loved watching him play this week.
He definitely looked like a complete back. And the one thing that I think it's obvious that going forward, the Saints need to have him more involved in the game plan. And if not for him as a player, the fact that Kamara, and this is something that we've talked about before, I think it was all off season, Kamara is an outstanding player, but he is not built to take that kind of pounding. Any one game, because I got into it with a guy on Twitter one time. Any one game he could have 35 carries, not a problem. There's probably not many backs in the league that can take that kind of workload and still be effective come playoff time.
Yeah.
So Murray is absolutely proven that he is a guy that you can count on. He carried the load, did an outstanding job, can catch the ball pretty well. Man, I was thoroughly impressed.
Yep, okay. All right. I would agree with you. What do you want me to say?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to throw something in or not.
No, I agree with what everybody says. I think Murray did an outstanding job. I like his personality. I like the way the demeanor he showed on the field. And I know we can count on
him. All right. Wesley, give us your good, brother.
Man, it's going to be Michael Thomas. Kind of the same thing we're talking about, you know, Murray getting kind of raked over the coals before the season started. Michael Thomas, a lot of people said they did not want to sign him to a big contract because anybody could catch the ball from Drew Brees, and Michael Thomas was just a product of how good Drew Brees is, and he'd go somewhere else and have, you know, average numbers and all. Okay, this guy, this week, 9 catches for 131 yards. This is everybody's looking at him. Kamara's out. Our only other receiving real threat, Cook, is out. Brees isn't throwing the ball. And Michael Thomas takes over a game again. And let's just catch up real quick. 7 games into the season, he has 62 receptions for 763 yards. He's on pace to have one less reception than the all-time record, the 143 receptions. He's on pace to have 142.
We'll catch him up.
This is a guy crushing it.
My too bold prediction or whatever at the beginning of the season was that Michael Thomas would exceed the already stellar stuff he's done with the Saints this season.
Look at you
so far. He's on pace to do just that.
Pretty good.
Did you think he was going to do it with Teddy Bridgewater for half a season?
No, that I would not have thought.
This is insane.
What I'm going to throw in there is,
I love Michael Thomas. I would have never thought this.
What I'm going to throw in there is, I'm just reiterating what you're saying, just how great it is that you take a guy, there was no real other threat, not even a running back, that's a true threat as a receiver, and they still couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
I will admit, paying these guys these top-notch contracts always makes me nervous. He's not a guy that, look, he's a top-flight receiver, no doubt. He doesn't have top-flight speed, and it made me a little, but at the end of the day, he's proven. Forget about who's throwing the ball. Forget about who else is on the field. You can't guard Mike. He ought to use that.
He should.
It's something he should use.
I think.
All right. All right, Tomas, give us your good.
Well, my good is going to be, we finally had an appearance. We had playoff Josh Hill show up.
Showing up early, baby.
Yeah.
Here you're talking about, you know, we only have one receiver. Well, it seems that.
Okay, maybe I misspoke.
Josh Hill said, well, hold on. I think you wrote that narrative a little too early because Josh Hill came out. Man, he started catching the ball, making breaks, cutting. He was showing he could run a good route, you know, got into the end zone in a corner. I mean, I'm very, satisfied with. A matter of fact, I'll even say this. I'm more satisfied in this game with the tight end play than I've been in the previous six games.
Oh, stop it, Tomas. Stop it.
I'm just saying, you know.
Hey, man, Cook was two games in a row with a touchdown.
Wait, did Josh Hill score a touchdown?
He did.
Yo, he did.
Oh, well, okay. Yes. Well,
He was wide open. He got. He must have shook somebody.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think he shook him.
He did a little shimmy, and then there he was.
If they'd have panned over
and
a little bit.
And beat him to the corner.
Yeah, if they'd have panned over a little bit, they'd probably show a defender holding his ankle laying on the ground.
Now, hats off to Josh Hill for showing up when we needed it. Yes. This was an aside both for Hill and for the Murray conversation. We've talked about Sean Payton, who, again, another week, this much more chance that he should be coach of the year already at this point.
Lock it up.
But in particular this week, his game plan was outstanding for what he was working with.
Yes, yes.
They didn't always execute it on the field, but the game plan was just fantastic. Yeah. So that's just an aside good for Sean Payton again.
All right, my good. And it's, I'm going to just go with Deontay Harris. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to take a break in the next segment when we do the bad because I'm going to talk about both of them right now. If this guy isn't the epitome of the good and the bad all wrapped into one.
Yeah.
But, okay, is anybody else at least somewhat feeling that despite the good things that he does, that he's going to cost us a big game at some point? Does that feeling not come to you?
No.
Really? Wow. No. It does to me a little bit. It's a little bit of an adventure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's more of an adventure watching him run up to catch that ball than I would like to have. I was hoping we'd kind of put that behind us. But we're still getting the ball kind of squirting out a little bit, kind of on his face mask a little bit. Maybe, you know. Go ahead.
Tell you what, his specialty is when we've got an offense backed up and they're punting from inside their own 30 or 20 and he's fielding the ball around the 35 to 45 yard line, he's dangerous and you can tell he's got some confidence. That guy fielding the ball inside the red zone or inside the 15, he's got too many things going on in his mind. He doesn't know when to catch it or when to let it go. And then when he does catch it, he's not very secure with it. It's those ones near the goal line that he's just terrifying me on. I'm confident. If he's catching the ball at the 35, might break it.
Yeah.
Feel good about it.
Yeah.
Catching the ball back behind the 15, terrifying.
The skill that he demonstrates when he fields the ball off his face mask is, I mean, it's exceptional. Yeah. I mean, how he does that, just like maybe, you know.
Nobody face mask a ball like he does.
No. Nobody catches the ball with a face mask.
But look, he put in some good returns, and one in particular, obviously, when he took it all the way, and of course, it got called back on a penalty. But, you know, you're going to get that from a guy like that. I've said it before. I think if you went back and looked at the really good returners, they probably actually had quite a number of mistakes, too, because it's a little bit boom or bust with that situation.
Wesley?
So, I mean, there's an idea that, you know, Sherrills was not only a good returner, but he was a very decent backup cornerback.
Yeah.
We need a cornerback and maybe a backup returner right now. If he's healthy, it wouldn't be bad to maybe put him in the team as a backup of both.
You know what always concerns me about that, though, and I don't know for a fact, but I haven't heard that he was picked up by anybody else. So then it always makes you wonder, when a guy gets cut, nobody else picks him up. Is that some great asset sitting out on the street? But maybe he's not healthy. Who knows exactly what was going on? Because he wasn't healthy with the Saints.
Who?
Sherrills, the returner that we signed from.
He's on IR.
Tommy Lee Lewis hasn't been picked up either.
I thought Sherrills was on IR.
We know how good he is.
He's not on the street.
So that's not really a good point.
I think Sherrills is on IR. He's not on the street.
Well, I have one more thing to say about this, because since the three of you think that's a problem and I don't, here's what I would throw back at you. How many returns did we have last year for touchdowns on either kickoff or punt? Okay. What was the yardage average on kickoff and punt returns last year? So, I'm sorry, but he's displayed so far to me, and I understand the thing about inside the red zone. I get that, but he's a rookie. I give him a little, you know, a few more games. I think he works that out.
Well, I'm not trying to cut him. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it makes me nervous, and what I'm worried about
is I'd rather be nervous and watch him explode for a return.
And the thing about it is, what I'm more concerned about than anything is, yes, okay, man, Seattle, he helped us out. If it wasn't for a disgusting holding call, he'd have returned another one today. What I worry about is when you get into the playoffs, and if you lose a possession because he fumbles one of those returns, that's what I'm concerned. But hopefully, like you're saying, he's a rookie. Like he's saying, he has a lot of things going on in his head. And at some point, you think that, you know, a little more experience, the game will slow down. He'll be
able
to, you know, so I think he'll improve. I'm not ready to cut him.
And yes, Tomas, I agree the punt and return and the kick return average has gone up, but my heartbeat average on kick plays has also gone up, and I'm worried.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to get on like those five different medications.
Well, it's boom or bust with him, because we need to brush up on our Cheryl's information. Yeah. Cheryl's was in fact cut and is a member of the Vikings again. So
he is
not available. He's not on the street or on IR.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Wesley Coleman, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, talking wall-to-wall Saints. We went through the good, and now I think it's time for some these guys want to do a little honorable mention, because there's some more. There's just so much stuff. I have notes out the yin-yang here, and you guys want to talk about, who was it, Tomas? Who's your honorable mention?
Zach Line.
The
yes,
exciting.
Sir. Fullback. You know, he the coordination it took for him to have that perfect read on that pitch out, you know, and then watch our third-string quarterback hit that corner. What I said is that given the creative mind of one Sean Payton, I can see now that we'll have different formations in the backfield. We'll have wishbone. We'll have a stack eye.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have the spread. I mean, just think about all the possibilities now back there. So.
West. Yeah, and my honorable mention, I know we talked about Gardner Johnson earlier, but a couple things with him. One, he gave up 7 catches for 18 yards. Like, he was on top of people. He was catching the ball. They're catching the ball, and he's taking them down in less than 3 yards. He had a couple people he made them lose yardage. And then along with him, he also knocked a guy unconscious that couldn't try to get up and walk and was stumbling all over the place.
That was fun. Oh, and I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Trolling
him? That was
Tarik
him.
Cohen.
Him
trolling Tarik Cohen about being short, and Sean Payton was loving it. And I tell you what, the announcers, one thing they did great, they said if Sean Payton came back and was a player today and was a cornerback, he would be Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, just pissing off everybody on the entire offense.
Yeah. Well, now that you mention it, because you guys, we were talking earlier, and Tomas thinks that P.J. Williams might not have a job when he comes back. And I don't agree with that, because P.J. Williams is playing well. But now that you bring these things up and that comment, Peyton might be over there like, well, you know, man, you have been causing some problems. Let's get over old Chauncey in here. Gardner Johnson, I think that the guy has a bright future. He has some things that he needs to work on and prove. He's a rookie. He almost had an interception in the end zone. Yeah. But then on the next play, he damn near got his knees blown out, giving up a touchdown pass. So it's still some things he needs to work on. Yeah. And not to mention why he would be guarding somebody of that caliber, and I can't remember the kid's name. He's a very good receiver from Chicago.
Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson. Broke him down and scored that touchdown. Yeah. Now, at that point in the game, you were just like hoping the game would be over, and brings up another subject of Eli Apple. This is a guy that you'd like to not have in the game at that time and that score and that situation. Yeah. And it's one of those things, and people are asking the questions, why is he in the game? The fact of the matter is there's not enough people on the roster to have backups for everyone. And so unless you're trying to put a safety or something at corner, somebody has to come out. And obviously Lattimore is going to come out of the game. You know, a guy like Cam Jordan, who, by the way, while we're speaking about honorable mention, another 2 sacks.
Yeah.
The thing about it is he's going to be in the game. Now, the word is, and this came, there's a lot of different speculation, but it came from his mom, who, if you know his mom, yeah, apparently, you know, she likes to get her nose up in the business. And she said that he's going to be fine. I guess he hyperextended the knee.
That's what
but,
they said, yeah.
But the thing about it is Ken Crawley's going to get some playing time because even though the hyperextension means he'll be back relatively quickly, you might be talking about after the bye week.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
So
yeah,
next week we are playing against a team in Arizona that they're 3-3 right now. Well, 3-3-1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that time.
The
yeah
teams they beat, I was looking at it earlier, and they beat the Giants. They beat everyone they beat were literally the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much of a threat they are.
Well, but it's three in a row. And so they're getting better, and they'll be getting some confidence.
Absolutely.
You know, they weren't good teams, but for a young team like that with a rookie playing a quarterback and a rookie coach and, you know,
right,
it, not to sleep on them is what I would say.
Absolutely.
Know?
Well, and the way this team's playing, you would hope that default defense that goes in there is just nasty.
Yeah.
The way you lose to bad teams is you have a bad defense and you're yeah forced to be on every time on offense.
And as we talked about before, this team has really been doing a good job of taking them one at a time. And, you know, I don't really think there's a danger of that with the Saints, but, you know.
All right, well, Heath, while you're talking there, give us your bad. We did the good. There's yeah some bad there.
Yeah, well, the special teams as a whole. You know, we constantly talk about the Saints special teams and how good it is. We got the best punter in the league. We got the best kicker in the league. We got the best. We literally last year had the best coverage team in the league. And we failed on all levels. The, you know, Morstead had the rare 37-yard ugly punt. We had a couple of missed field goals and a missed extra point. We gave up a return for a touchdown. We lost a return for a touchdown on penalty that we could have had. God, what else? We had the flub on the – almost gave up two onside kicks.
God.
The guy's foot was out of bounds, but we screwed it up twice.
Yeah. I mean, okay. In fact, you listen to those things. I knew we had a poor special teams day.
Yeah.
But I mean,
we literally had more things go wrong on special teams this past week than the Saints probably have in a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
At this point, okay?
It was awful. And then, you know, offset by you had oh, you know, you could throw.
And we did have the punt. We had the block punt. We had the block punt.
We actually
punt,
had two so block punts.
Yeah, yeah, tipped and, yeah, yeah.
So, because that one.
Line almost, again, Zach Line.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about it is, whether you like the call or not, you can make the argument as a negative special teams player when you return a ball for a touchdown, but it gets called back on holding. So,
right,
you know, add that to the list of bad. I didn't realize until you listed it off how bad special teams was.
Yeah, and I may be forgetting some stuff. It was bad.
When we went into the game last week, I'm like, listen, this is going to be a game that we're going to have to go into. We have to play great defense, and we need some help from special teams. Quite frankly, obviously, we didn't need any help from special teams.
Which makes it just that much more amazing when you consider all the stuff I just said, a drop touchdown by Ginn in the end zone and all, and we still scored 36 points in Chicago on a supposedly really good defense.
And a blown whistle on the
– And the blown whistle on what could have been a fumble return for a touchdown again.
I kept hearing that, but the thing is, the fumble, he was down.
I don't know if he was down when he actually had control of the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They said that, I think, to bail out the fact that it was another flub call personally. But
yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we got about 2 minutes for the bad.
I took up the whole
thing. Wesley, go ahead and give us your bad.
I'll be quick. Saints related, I'll give the bad to Rich Eisen, Steve Mariucci, Kurt Warner, and Michael Irvin for all picking the Bears again.
There you go.
Being embarrassed.
Yeah. There was a whole lot of C's on that. Who's going to win this week? What now?
That's a good one. Mine is going to be Saquon Hampton. I just didn't see him playing the kind of game I expected him to be playing. Of course, it could be because we're so, at least I am, so overwhelmed with Garner Johnson, you know, and his abilities and what he's shown.
Yeah.
But Saquon Hampton stepped slow, didn't look as fast as I thought he was going to be covering. And I don't know. That one was one that I'm a little, you know.
Although on further review, I think he may have actually slightly tipped that pass, that first one that he stuck his hand out on. And
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, but he didn't – they can't all look great in their first action, I guess.
Well, saying, to be fair on that, like even the announcers mentioned it, but that play, he played it so well that the receiver saw it and ran a different route just stopped running, and the quarterback threw to him because Hampton actually played it perfect, which would have been an interception, but – the receiver ran a different route than what he was supposed to run because of how well Hampton played. But also, I mean, Hampton only played 28% of our offensive snaps, our defensive snaps, too. And I think most of those were in the fourth quarter.
But
that, and I think we're all
out there. He's a
we're all hoping that one of these supposedly ball hawking safeties that we draft actually pan out.
Exactly.
All right. Well, my bad. I'm gonna go with old Ted Ginn, who had two drops in the game. One of them. Now, look, you can argue, and I wouldn't think that you were wrong if you said that the touchdown was defended.
As they say, when you're playing at this level, dude, it was in the cradle. Yes, okay, it wasn't.
Absolutely. That's a touchdown throw.
It wasn't a clean, absolute drop. But at the end of the day, a good receiver. Not to say he's not a good receiver, but a good receiver should make that play.
Right, right.
And it's one of those things that at that point in the game, we really needed that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have to go with Ted Ginn as my bad. And he had another drop earlier in the game. And, you know, it's at a time where you really need him to step up. Well, I keep saying these things, but, you know, like, well, we needed the special teams to step up. We need Ted Ginn to step up. No, we didn't need any of that.
That was amazing. The defense was that good. I don't think it's a combination. The defense was stellar. And Chicago was bad.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I've never been super impressed with them, and I had to convince myself that as a playoff team, you know, they were a good team. Not sure if they are.
Well, I agree with Wesley. I think they have good defense and, you know, not so good offense. All right, Wes.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, I know that we talked about how the fourth quarter ended, but let's just look at the whole game. 252 yards of offense, 17 yards rushing, and they were 2 for 12 on third down. Like, it was a great performance by the defense. I know you were just mentioning that. It's amazing numbers.
No, that's great. You have to, golly.
Hey, you just hate that the yardage doubled in the last 4 minutes.
They had 83 yards of total offense with 8 minutes left in the game or something. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all that garbage yardage. How many times have we had that? And looking at our statistical rankings, like, we should be much higher.
That's what I really, you know, I call me greedy, but I wanted to see the defense be able to take that jump up in the rankings because they've been playing well enough to they deserve it, quite frankly.
I've tweeted out, like, I know it don't matter, but it kind of matters to me. You know what I'm saying? Just garbage. They should have just ended the game and said whatever happens after this point don't count statistically. But as a Saints fan, I want to watch my team play, so y'all keep playing.
Yeah.
Well, I hear that, but, you know, another positive take from it is that perhaps we can continue to sneak up on people because they're going to say, well, look, you know, they're only 15th. You know, they're not really top five defense, you know. Take a different spin on it.
You hope, and I would have to, well, there's probably some NFL coaches out there that might be how they coach in, like maybe in Tampa Bay or
certainly Atlanta. Yeah.
Jets, the Jets. Browns.
You think over in Atlanta.
Atlanta watches Eisen and crew to find out their news about.
Look, these guys are ranked 16th, man. We're just going to run on them because that's what they're really bad at.
Yep. That's right.
Hey, when we come back, we can do our pick'ems, and we got some more notes that we want to share with you. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. We'll be right back.
BS and Beer Podcast, where we realize that taking candy from a baby is the responsible thing to do.
Ninety-7.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. Heath Elson-San, Wesley Coleman, Tomas Mauricio.
Yo.
I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. And we are going to be doing our pick'ems here in a little bit. I don't even have jokes no more. 4 points. 4 points. I hit the first four games. So it's green, 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 and completely red after that.
Whiff.
Horrible. But listen.
That's all right. I only got seven.
We talked a little bit earlier about the wide receivers, the trade deadline. Is it next Tuesday or next Wednesday?
Tuesday, I believe.
Tuesday, okay. Tuesday. Next week. We talked about the Saints have been, you know, poking around in a wide receiver market. One of the things that was brought up, and I find it super interesting. So, at this point, with desperate teams out there, could you trade Teddy Bridgewater?
No.
Before the trade deadline?
No.
Knowing that Breeze is coming back. What if somebody wants to give you a first rounder for him?
No.
Gone.
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 I don't know. That's a tough one. You know, 5 weeks ago, I would have definitely said, you know. Huh? I don't know, man.
That's the kind of team that would want a quarterback in midseason that's probably going to be a top five or eight
pick. Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shoot, Chicago. Love you, Teddy. Wow.
Yeah, but put him with Chicago and they, you know, that pick you get from him might not be as good as it, you know. You want to get it, you want to turn it into the best pick you can.
True, maybe we can trade him to Miami.
Yeah, you know, get Miami or somebody like that to trade. No, but I don't think they're going to give up there.
I really doubt the Saints would do it, but if you really think about it, he could play on Sunday. I mean, when I saw that scenario, he could play on Sunday because
the practicing
word is,
somewhere else on
is
Monday.
That Drew Brees will probably be the backup on Sunday. They said that he's ready, he's throwing the ball, that I've heard reports that he wants to start, and I think that's a lot of speculation. But the fact of the matter is he could end up being starting on Sunday and then trade him before the trade deadline. Then Tomas's
teams are usually off on Monday, so he could play on Sunday, and then the next time he suits up on Tuesday, he could be with somebody else.
Be with somebody else. And now,
I believe this team, the way they're going right now, with all of the participation they get, could keep on rolling with Taysom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would need a completely – and you have to imagine that. Let's say Breeze needs another week, and even Peyton knows that. He's like, I'll do it for another week.
Yeah.
And figure out a way to make Taysom Hill somehow another effective quarterback. Look, I mean –
it'd be a perfect game, too, against Kyler Murray. They'd be a similar kind of
– like running quarterback.
You know, Tyler – yeah, Murray's not going to run tough like Taysom does, but they're more that kind of – he's more of that kind of quarterback than he is a pocket passer.
But I think it's an interesting – and, Tomas, you just shutting it down.
I'm going to be realistic, okay? I don't think anyone's going to give you a one. Now, if somebody really gives you a two, I'd probably take it.
We gave it, a three? So we'd have to at least advance it from a three.
But I being serious, I mean, you'd have to be desperate. And which team out there is, you know, if Brady goes out at New England.
And you are right.
You know.
What team is in contention that their quarterback went out?
Right.
And that they, because you're right. Why would a team right now that's going nowhere, that knows they already have a high pick.
Right.
And we are talking a second rounder in this hypothetical now.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'll give you a high second rounder for a guy when they know that there will probably be a franchise quarterback in the draft.
Right.
So it almost have to be you get a second for a top-notch team that is saying, look, we need somebody to do what he did for you guys, for us, for about 6 weeks until our starter comes back and the playoffs.
Yeah, if Mahomes' injury was worse, then definitely the Chiefs would be a team like that.
Exactly. That's a great example. If Mahomes,
said today, hey, Mahomes' injury is worse than we thought, he's missing 7 weeks, maybe they step up.
Yeah,
of course,
I see that.
I think they've traded most of their first-round picks and second-round picks.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but isn't it absolutely interesting to think that he has created
and that would be the smart thing to do, right? Buy low and sell high? Yeah, I mean –
and the thing is that he's created value for himself, and what's I don't know if sad's the right word, but the Saints aren't going to get anything for what he's done for himself. Has made a lot of money, but at the end of the year, there's no contract, or is it? Wait a minute.
We were just talking about buffoons off camera. Maybe they could get Snyder to go for it.
Yes.
In Washington.
Well, how about this? As you bring this up, what about if we trade him to Cincinnati for A.J. Green and a second round or a third round draft?
I'm
Because
I thought about switching
you
up.
See? You get a player instead. If you get A.J. Green and maybe a third or a fourth.
Well, you're going to be getting a third or fourth and a guy that'll play about five games for you before he's on the bench again hurt.
Well, I'm just saying.
You never know. If you play for Cincinnati, you might get hurt all the time, too.
Of course, I'm still holding out for
they definitely learned. So. They know how to hurt him in Cincinnati. Between him and Eifert, you might get six games out of him combined.
My liver. My gallbladder.
I don't think we have to worry about Eifert after Josh Hill decided to come in.
Not playoff Josh Hill.
Now let's talk about a serious injury problem.
All right.
Zion Williamson's going to miss about 8 weeks.
Yes, that's terrible. Yeah.
Talk about a bummer, man. Yeah. I was really looking forward to this team because after watching them in preseason, there's all kinds of excitement about this team.
And I think I made the point that I was going to – I'm not a huge basketball fan until the playoffs. I might have actually paid attention to those guys early.
On the good injury front, it looks like Alabama may not have Tua for a few weeks, so that could also help.
Oh, really?
Makes anybody feel better about some injuries.
Yeah. A few weeks, that'd be great.
Wait. Now LSU
play them in 2 weeks.
We
off this week, and then we got them the next week.
Right. So is that right?
It'll be close.
No. We got Auburn. Yeah. Auburn. That's right. It's 3 weeks.
We play him 21 days after the injury. Last year when he had the injury, he came back 28 days later and didn't look good.
It's over. It's a wrap.
Same exact surgery on the different foot.
Tim Tebow said that Joe Burrow is going to play lights out against Alabama, and he is his Heisman favorite right now.
I like there it. I mean, listen, there's no arguing that this is not fake or smoke and mirrors. I mean, playing solid teams, solid defenses, top-notch college-level defenses, yeah. And he's still doing it.
Well, that's he brought up a good point. Every time Alabama has struggled to loss, it's when a quarterback playing against them played lights out.
Right.
And so if Joe Burrow can play the way he's been playing this season, go ahead, Wes.
And I'll end on this. I know I told you about before, but I put money on LSU at the start of the year to win the national championship. If they do, I get $2,200. I'm taking everybody to Vegas, and then we're going to Hawaii. Oh, wait, no, it's just $2,200. Never mind. I'll send y'all some cool pictures of a dinner I have.
Yeah.
Get a picture of his dinner. All right.
Yeah, we're going to Paris, Texas.
Let's get to these picks because there are people who depend on us to pay their mortgages based on what we say.
Okay.
So, all right, let's start off. I'm just doing this one because it's a ridiculous 15.5 points that the Vikings are giving up at home against the Redskins. What you say, Heath?
What game we doing?
We're doing the Redskins at the Vikings.
You know what, man? It's a lot of points, but I'm going to take the Vikings at home and give up to 15.5.
Me too.
Hail the Redskins.
Oh, really? I can't see it. No, I'm going to go with the Vikings.
And they got Adrian Peterson, man. You had a sandwich with him.
Hey, that's my boy, man. We
Minnesota's playing too good right now at home. Nah.
All right. So I like to always do the Fighting Garys. So we got the Giants at the Fighting Garys. The Fighting Garys are giving up 7 points. Big favorites.
Oh, man. Gary. I'm going to have to take the Giants in the 7 points. I just can't put my faith in the Lions right now.
Sorry, Gary.
You don't even know Gary. You ain't afraid to hurt Gary's feelings, are you?
Not me, buddy. Let me tell you what. Gary, I feel bad for you, brother, because you got the short end of the stick in this last game.
Again.
And I think we're going to come back. I think the Lions will do it to the Giants. I'm taking the Lions.
I'm taking the Lions, too. I'm going to give up those 7 and give it to the Lions. Let's see another interesting game. That's not. What about the Panthers and the 49ers? That's the Cam Newton-less Panthers.
Or is he coming back?
No, I heard he's sitting this week.
He's sitting this week.
It sounds like he will be coming back soon, or at least he'll be healthy soon. And it'll be interesting depending on how that kid plays. I forget his name. How he plays.
Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen's been playing well, and the Panthers will look good with him. But I'm surprised this line isn't a little higher. I'm going to definitely take the 49ers and give up the 5.5 in Frisco.
Yeah, I just think the line's so low because I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. But I'm going to take the 49ers too.
Yep, 49ers and 5.5. I'll give it up. No problem.
See, this is why I don't pick NFC South because it's inevitable that you're all going to pick against the NFC South team.
Well, pick the Scampers then.
I'm gonna pick the Scampers. I'm gonna go because here's the thing. I don't want the 49ers to win because I want to convince myself of what I've been saying is that they're
first
not
rule
really
of
good.
Betting: don't bet based on what your heart wants about
I
team.
I want them to lose.
I'm gonna pick good the luck Panthers. With that.
I do too, but you know.
But you know, on the other hand, what do you want? This is one of those conundrum here.
Honestly, the thing is, though, if the Panthers win, they're only a game behind the Saints.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
With
do you
a
want
win.
To win the division or right. look forward to playoff seeding? So, I don't know, man. I think it's probably best the 49ers win and then hope that they kind of melt down later or that Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo's going to get hurt pretty soon.
Never finishes a season that he won't again. All right, let's do one more. Let's do the Packers and the Mahomes-less Chiefs who are getting 4.5 points at home.
I'm going to take the Packers and give up the 4.5.
Wesley.
Also taking the Packers.
Yes, sir. I take the Packers and give up the 4.5.
It's a clean sweep. All right, Saints playing against the Cardinals 3-0. What's your name again?
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to take the Saints and give up the 9.5. Even though I think Arizona is an up-and-coming team and I think they'll be interesting to watch. Saints defense is playing too good right now. I think they're giving the rookie some problems. Take the Saints.
All right, Wesley, 30 seconds, 10 seconds.
Drew Brees leads the offense to score 43 points, 43-17 Saints.
Dang.
See, I feel the opposite. I think Drew's going to come back, be rusty. Well, I'm worried. You know, I think I might have to take the – no, I'll take the Saints.
I don't think Drew plays. We give another week to to old Teddy.
Teddy and, Two Gloves.
And bring
Two Glove Teddy.
That's right. Two Glove. Hey, that's all the show we have for you. Thank you guys for listening as usual. 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We'll talk to you next week with more exciting Saints coverage.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davey, Heed, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time.